I would like to read from Psalm 57 before we pray. Let us stand up for it. Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. So far this word. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts that although we are in this world, but we are not of this world and do not belong here, our home is there on high, where we know nothing of affliction and woe. Beloved Lord, we long to leave this earth and come to you in the Father's house. You have already prepared the mansions, and you are coming soon, very soon. We praise you and worship you and ask you most earnestly, be in our midst today. Lord, bless us. Lift up your face upon us in grace and give us your peace. Take from us everything that could stand between you and us, whether deeds, whether words, thoughts. O Lord, may the blood of the new covenant grant justice, even acquittal, to your people today. Beloved Lord, from our hearts, we also thank you for this day you have made to speak to us and bless us. May it please you to be in our midst, to save the lost, to heal the sick, to set the captives free, and please seal us all with the Holy Spirit. Give us the divine seal, Lord, for the redemption of our bodies, the assurance that the power which raised Jesus from the dead dwells also in our mortal bodies to make them alive. O beloved Lord, we thank you again for being present and blessing us. Everything is given over to you. Take the one who speaks, the ones who hear. Yes, be yourself the one who speaks. Speak to us as a friend speaks to friends. For we are your friends, because we do what you have commanded. Again, we give you thanks and ask you, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to welcome in a special way all those who are here today for the first time. in the precious name of the Lord, and of course, all of us. I don't think there's anyone here who has not consciously heard, seen, and followed the events of the last few weeks. And I think that we can say with conviction, we are very close to the end. We see the development that it is not only slow, but that it is happening at a speed that one would not have thought possible. All this imposes on us a sacred duty, not only to observe or be excited that this or that is happening, but at the same time to understand that we must use this time, indeed redeem it, in order to carry out our task that God has given us. When we read the Revelation in particular, then deep gratitude comes to me, especially in the thought that the Lord has given us Brother Branham as a man of God, as a prophet who had insight into the word of prophecy and communicated it to us through inspiration and revelation, and that today we only need to observe things to know how things are going. You can confirm that we have been talking for years about the fact that the East must open up. It will open up. And all those who have listened attentively to this will rejoice with us that the time has now really come. We will not only be able to preach in the open air in Western countries, but soon on the Red Square in Moscow, on Wenzel Square in Prague, on the Tiananmen Square in China. Don't you worry. Time is pressing, and the overall development will proceed in this way. All those who have not yet understood, one here, one there, they are perhaps late bloomers. But God will have His way, opening the doors to the ends of the earth, because it is written, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations for a witness, and then the end will come. Not before, but then the end will come. And if we are going, and we don't want to get political, but what the scripture says, we can talk about that too. Specifically, Revelation 17. I want to read two or three verses from that. Revelation 17, verse 17, here it says, for God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Whether east, whether west, the mighty must put their power at the disposal of that power which is described very clearly here in Central Europe as the Roman Empire, as it is described to us in the prophet Daniel. He saw only four beasts, and he was given the revelation directly that the four beasts signify four world empires that would follow one another, and the last one is the Roman Empire. And then here, the man of God on the Isle of Patmos sees it, this beast, which is indeed a power, a world power. Beast equals power in Bible prophecy. He sees the beast that was there, is no more, and will be again. I read to it Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And now comes the point. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Who does not know of the seven hills city, its seven mountains, not just seven heads, that too, but seven mountains on which the woman is enthroned, not Washington, not Moscow, Rome. And the Spirit of God in the prophets pointed it out, and the same Spirit of God is in me. And I will, as long as my voice resounds, point these things out, and I will speak about them, because others will not. They are looking all over the world for this Superman of the end times, just not where he really is. Also connected to this, I would like to once again thank God very much for the sending of his servant and prophet, our beloved Brother Branham. We don't make a cult of him, but we are grateful to God that in this time we have been given the insight by revelation, not by our own research or interpretation, but by revelation into what is now going on. The woman is at the same time seven mountains, or on which the woman is enthroned. And here we have the overall picture, and we see this before us quite clearly. The power that was there and then was no more is arising before our eyes. And it is not by chance that politicians of rank, profession and name all suddenly speak the same language, use the same vocabulary, the pan-European house, without windows, without doors, everyone can look in, look out, from the Atlantic to the Urals. That's what General de Gaulle said in 1957, when he co-signed the treaties of Rome. Today it is others. Beloved, I don't want to dwell on this, but I would like to emphasize one thing. We have come to the end of the end times. And when I think about the fact that in a few days my friend Gorbachev will also kiss the Pope's ring, then one feels an inner distress, but at the same time thinks of God's word, that they must act in one sense and give their power until God's words will be fulfilled. Humanly, almost impossible to classify, to comprehend. And here we can emphasize very clearly, if my beloved Lord were standing in my place today, he would exclaim, on this day, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. I do not know how much more of this is to be said or read, but there is one thing I would like to emphasize which concerns this subject. May God grant us the grace not only to observe this time, but to use it to bring the everlasting gospel to all peoples, all tongues and nations. Today it is on my heart to speak about faith that takes effect, about faith that is not in words, but in action, in what God does. Let me read some scriptures on this, starting with Matthew chapter 8, from verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The thought that moves me is this. Our question, if thou willst or canst, addressed to the Lord, is not quite correct. He will. He can. In him all the promises are yes and amen. He asks us the question, can you believe? Oh, that thou couldest believe, thou wouldest behold the glory of God. Not the question, Lord, wilt thou? He wills. Believe it, he wants. He wants all people to be helped. He wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to be saved. He wants. He wants. He wants to bless today. He wants. That must not be the question, but the question we must ask ourselves is whether we believe. He can, he wants. Can you believe to see the glory of God? I said this here some time ago, and it moves me indeed. We have the four Gospels as a report of and about what our Lord did back then. And wherever this gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, the same things should and must happen that happened then as a framing of the gospel. After all, it is not a theory. It is a divine practice here on this earth. And to it we have the passages in the Holy Scripture that the Lord was with them and worked with them and confirmed the word by signs and wonders following. We need to reach the point that our faith draws divine action after it and count on that what is reported here and happened happens anew. Last Sunday of last month, we had touched a little on the ministry of Brother Branham, in that he took passages of the scripture like none before him. He was not afraid. He took them. He stood on them by faith. And he knew the scripture cannot be broken. That's what God said. And the way he said it, it is true. And Brother Branham stood on it and experienced it. When the angel came to him on May the 7th, 1946, Brother Branham literally said, "They will not believe me." He added, "I'm without schooling," and so on. And the answer was, "Two signs will be given to you, as two signs were given to Moses, the prophet." I want to come to a point. When God sends a prophet, announces the signs, and then does them, then faith in the living presence of God may and must simply be in us. It must be there. Through the word, through the sermon, faith must be worked that God has certainly not gone home with the departure of his prophets, nor with a recall of Brother Branham, but that the Lord is with his people even to the end, and that we have received the same faith, the same word. Nothing has changed. On the contrary, we are grateful to God for that. We have been led even deeper into what God has revealed to us. What was perhaps still blurred years ago, although we believed it, but had not fully grasped it, that, I may say for all of us, is today by grace, divine revelation in your heart and in mine. There is no point that God has revealed that has remained unclear to us. On the contrary, the Spirit of God has so led us from clarity to clarity, from truth to truth, from glory to glory, that somehow the effect of divine revelation must simply break through. In the seals, Brother Branham spoke about this, in the comparison of the oil and the wine, to which no harm was to be done. Oil, Holy Spirit, anointing, and so on. But wine, stimulation of this divine revelation. Beloved, it must come to the point that the things which have been given to us by God really break the bottom of the barrel, that the effect of divine revelation, as it is worthy of the Lord, can also be revealed from us to Him. That we not only sit and stand and hear the things, but be overwhelmed by the great privilege God has given us of sitting in the school of the kingdom of heaven, not at the feet of a Gamaliel, but at the feet of our beloved Lord, who has revealed his word so clearly, so plainly, in all its contexts, as never before on earth. Faith, faith, as the scripture says. So said our Lord then, he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his body shall flow rivers of living water. We may take God at his word and must expect that what he has promised has already been given to us, that it may be manifested. After all, faith is not a convulsive thing that we now want to get a grip on. Faith is a real revelation of God's will for the moment in which we then find ourselves, and we may take the Lord God at his word without effort. Faith is revelation, that's true. But revelation of the will of God for what is to happen at that moment. Faith is not a blur that you have to search and categorize somewhere. Faith that is real revelation is tailored to the point that is really at stake. And beloved, I mean, if God has given us the connection to him, and there are certain things that we are waiting for and that are to happen, may he give it to us, that all of a sudden, without any effort on our part, what God has done is spoken with our lips and it comes to pass. That was, after all, what the Lord said in Mark 11 in that case. Mark 16 is the general Great Commission. To those who believe, these signs and wonders will follow. The living faith in the risen Lord must make manifest the power of God. For this faith does not consist in words alone, but in deeds, and manifests itself mightily. There is a word in the book of Acts, in chapter 14, in verse 9, and there is written the following. Acts, chapter 14, verse 9. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Paul realized, he saw that someone believed here. I come back to this thought again. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ should serve to bring people into connection with God, to penetrate to the living faith that the Lord is the same today and consequently does the same, and that this living faith which arises in us through the preaching takes God at his word and experiences what the Lord has promised. Again and again we can read in the four Gospels and also later in the book of Acts, we count on it. Who actually counts on it? That we are not only addressed with sermons or through sermons, but who counts on that God reveals himself, that the Lord does in a meeting what he did back then when he walked on this earth. We have already emphasized that here too. He did not send anyone away. And the one woman, because she was not a Jew, to her he said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." It was a somewhat crass answer that our beloved Lord gave. But the Gentiles' turn was not yet here. After all, first the sheep of Israel were to be gathered, and then the Gentile nations were to hear the message. And the Lord said, "It is not good to take the children's bread." Bread. Did you hear that? Bread. Was there anyone hungry? No. It was about healing. It was about deliverance. Beloved, the whole word is our food. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. And every word is spiritual food, is bread for us. All that God has prepared is ours. And we are to stand on it by faith and not stagger. Here it says, "And he perceived that he had faith." Oh, that I, that we, as ministering brethren, might yet one day stand before people who can already be seen to have faith, that they count on that God gives what he has promised, without effort, revelation, inspiration. And this entails what God has promised. There are two or three passages I would like to read. Luke chapter 18. Here the Lord says something very important. Luke 18 verse 8. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" We have already mentioned this too. The whole pious world believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is true. We are grateful to God for that. He is the Son of God, as our Savior, but he is Son of Man compared to his prophetic task. In the Gospel of Matthew alone, the phrase Son of Man is found at least 26 times, always Son of Man. The whole pious world speaks of Christ, the Son of God. But the Bible says of the time when the Son of Man is revealed. Because again, a prophetic part of the plan of salvation is taking its course. It had to happen. As what was the Lord shown under the seven golden candlesticks? As the Son of Man. And how thankful we are here again for the illumination. Our beloved brother Branham has said and expounded this very clearly. Christ as Son of Man. The same thing he did then, he has done in our day. The explanation that was given about this, also concerning the prophetic ministry, and I always like to hear it. I heard it again a few days ago. When Brother Branham is giving his testimony like that, his life story, and just says how things were explained and communicated to him, and what it's all about now, a sign. At that time, it was a sign for the Jews. And the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she said, "We know that when the Messiah comes, who is called Christ, he will tell us all things. But who are you?" And the answer is, "It is I who speaks to you." Will the Son of Man find faith? Not will the Son of God find faith. Will the Son of Man find faith? Will there be people who recognize this prophetic phase in the plan of salvation and the prophetic ministry that was accomplished in these days? Maybe there are still some among us. I don't hope so, but it could be, who might still say, "How big is the difference between the called out church and all denominations?" I tell you the truth. It is sky high. It is very great. It is only through the prophetic revelation of the word that we have gained the insight into that which all others pass by. And when they say loudly, "We have Christ, we don't need a prophet," then we reply, "We have Christ," and receive the prophet sent by him. He who has Christ has the word of Christ. He submits under the mighty hand of God. Theory, all can have. The people of God have the practice and literally witness what God is now doing according to his word. It overwhelms me because I know full well that in order to call out the bright church, it is necessary not to use the word sold out, but to really call out, anoint our eyes, and reveal to us what it is all about now. To believe as the scripture has said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. That day will burn like an oven, but before that day breaks forth, the prophetic ministry had to be there." And the very things that mean nothing to others mean everything to us. And thankful we are also for not overemphasizing things, but putting them under a bushel and not mentioning them. That doesn't work either. The balance has to be kept, and indeed, God has given that to us by grace. I would like to read on from Luke 17, verse 5. "And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith." Increase our faith. I tend to say that the more the word is revealed to us, the more inspiration by the Spirit becomes in our hearts, the more faith we receive, the stronger we become in looking up to God. And let us consider the whole number of things that God has indeed revealed to us, because he loves us, and we may love him again. It goes on here. Luke 17, verse 6. "And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this mulberry tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." We have also talked about this before, which was also mentioned, that things are not only prayed for, but that they are spoken out by inspiration, simply spoken by faith and divine commission, and they happen before our eyes. I believe in that. I believe in the ministry of the spoken word. I believe that, as the Lord said to the leper at that time, I will be clean. Not an hour of prayer, one sentence, I will be clean. And he was clean. The word has been spoken. I believe that God will so align us as a church with him for the final task, that the Spirit and the Bride say the same thing. Yes, that the Bride says what the Spirit wants to say, that it is spoken out in the name of the Lord, in the will of God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to worry about that. The Lord has already decided all that in his plan. That too is just a matter of time. Not will you or won't you, can you or can't you. We believe until the time comes, and we will see it with our own eyes. Everything that happened in Brother Branham's ministry must happen in the restored church, where everything has been restored. It cannot be otherwise. Anyone who wants to see it differently is seeing past God. The Lord does not make empty words. He will bring home a church that is equipped with a power from on high, an empowered church, a church in which the life-giving power of God dwells, so that even at that time our mortal bodies will be made alive. And since God has taken all the responsibility, he will do it to those who make themselves available to him. It says of our Lord in Acts chapter 2, where now Peter elaborates that the Lord rose again on the third day, and there is quoted the word from the psalm, I will not suffer his soul to abide in hell, nor his body to see corruption. It was a word of God. There was no other way. The word had to be fulfilled that way. Hell can stand on its head, and the devil can maybe do a little back and forth. God has said it. It has to be done, because God speaks the last word and no one else. In the same way, and there is no way around it, the promises that have been made for us must find their fulfillment. There are no ifs and no buts, no can you or will you, a divine must, so that what is written may be fulfilled. As in the head, so in all the members. Since we are addressing this point with the head and the members, I have to ask myself and all of us, to what extent are we intimately connected with the Lord and with each other? Do we feel the pain of others to the point of crying out? If we are members of one body, then we are connected to each other in the same way as the members, the very natural members, are connected to each other and to the head. I want to tell you this. There is still something missing. There is still a lack. Only then, when the first fruits have been baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit, will this be possible and revealed. And therefore, of course, the divine must. As the Lord said then, abide in Jerusalem until ye are endued with a power from on high, a being baptized together into the living organism of God, into the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about emotional experiences of the past or in denominations that have all received an anointing and one could almost devour the other at times. There is not much love there. But the true baptism in the Spirit is a baptism in love. So the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The first fruits, the real bride of Christ, have the life of Jesus, have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, have the Word, have His nature, are one with Him and one with one another. And I say again, we are not referring to the things that are going on today in the whole charismatic movement all over the world, where everybody believes what they want and does what they want. We are talking here about the biblical experiences that God has promised us. A true filling with the Holy Spirit. A being baptized into the body of the Lord. A coming back to the first love, to the first works, to the first devotion. That everything, as it was in the beginning, would be there in the end. They had everything in common. No one said there, this is mine or that is yours. One heart and one soul, each for each and with each. This too will happen. I believe in that. Because only when that divine atmosphere and unity has been created, and there is no sand in the gears, but oil, oil of the Spirit, then into the mechanics will come the dynamics, and the living God will see to it that it is worked out and made manifest. If you and I had to do that, we could pack right now and be afraid and say, this is going to go wrong. It cannot go wrong. Our Lord watches over His Word to fulfill it. And as we have often said, if His Word is in us, then He watches over us to bring His Word to fulfillment in us and through us. Is there any joy coming up? Stimulation? That God is so gracious to us, not only saved, but given grace to know Him. And as Paul said, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. We believe that too. If we have known Him, then also the power of His resurrection shall work or effect in us what God has promised and purposed to do. It will, it must come to pass. Not the question, will you or can you? He asks you and me, do you believe? Do you believe that I can do such things? And then we exclaim, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe, for you have said it, and the price has been paid, and we have a completed, a finished work of redemption. And Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, he has already seen the church in such a way that the Lord presents her before his face without spot and without wrinkle. John saw her in Revelation chapter 19 as a bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. This multitude of firstfruits, the ones called out by God, will have part and witness the final work of God. Another passage here from Luke 17, perhaps verse 18 and 19. Has no one else been found who has returned to give glory to God except this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Those who know a little about the original text know it is the same word, salvation and healing. On Golgotha, both happened, salvation and healing. The blood flowed for our redemption, for our salvation. His body was broken that we might be healed in our bodies. By his wounds, we are healed. Let us sum it up. We are living in the last days, the end of the end times. We see the political development going on like this. Who would have said a year ago that 5 million inhabitants of the German Democratic Republic who have been harassed by the people there, and anyone who has traveled over there knows how much harassment can be associated with that, and suddenly you are just waved through. You may drive. We have said it, and we are happy that it has come this way and will continue to come this way. Also in Prague and everywhere, we take note of it very well and gladly, this spirit of departure. But there is one thing I would like to ask God from the bottom of my heart, that in religious terms too, a reflection somehow enters the people, and that the spirit of grace and repentance is poured out, and also of reason and recollection. Because imagine, politically, people are shaking off the yoke with all their might. And this doesn't quite fit here either. But when Mr. Honecker celebrated the 40th anniversary with Gorbachev at that time, then I say to myself, today you have celebrated, tomorrow you will be fired. And what can I tell you? What can I tell you? There are certain things that you just have. You just say them because you know exactly the time is here. How grateful we are. Don't worry about the wall. Others will do it. Everything will be well done by the Lord. The time is here. The great whore will ride on the beast that was and was no more and is coming into being again. And therefore all roads lead to Rome. All make their power available so that the words of God may be fulfilled. And then at the very end, it will come to pass, as God's word says, that they will hate the whore and make her naked and burn her with fire. I will probably watch that from above, but it will happen because the mouth of the Lord spoke it. Let's also think about the West Coast of America, about what Brother Branham said, who knows how many years ago, that St. Andrew's Fault will give way, that the whole area will sink and fall to the bottom of the sea. Everything, basically everything, is at hand. The coming of the Lord is near. May God give us grace and equip us, baptize us into one body, that His power may be manifested. And then we go to these nations, not only with words, but that the Lord God goes with us. Yes, that He goes before us and confirms His word. That people who cannot yet believe today will be overwhelmed by the presence of God and forced to believe. They have been deceived long enough. May God expose this religious deception with all His might, and that not only the Iron Curtain may have opened, but also this purple curtain, which is the main issue, that we tear it apart. We have to leave everything to God, but He may be able to use us and make us skillful. You all know, God needs people to do all this, and it will happen. It will happen. The prisons will be blown up. The people will be given the chance to decide, and the word of our Lord will be proclaimed exceedingly, and it will not return void. It will accomplish what God has sent it to do. The question is not, Lord, can you? Or Lord, will you? The Lord says, I can, I will. Canst thou believe? And we believe with all our heart. We believe as the scripture says. We leave everything else to the Lord our God. He will make all things well. Praise be to His holy name. Amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord together. Lord our God, we are overwhelmed. We have no words to express what we feel. You saved us, all guilt forgiven, all sin, everything. You have washed us whiter than the snow. If your sin were red as blood, it shall become white as snow. If it be as scarlet, it shall be as wool. Beloved Lord, so it has become through Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To you, the Lamb of God, that was slain. Thanks be to you for your holy divine blood, in which holy divine life pulsated, which came back to your blood-bought multitude. Life from God, the firstborn, chosen by God, destined to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He, the firstborn, among many brethren. We cannot grasp it. We are not worthy of all this mercy. Grace, and again grace it is. And this grace we also praise today as the pardoned multitude. Beloved Lord, you have seen the uplifted hands. You know the hearts and the life. We are all needy. We all have needs. We have prayer requests. We have those close to us that we wish to see with you. O Lord, there are so many requests that we bring to you in faith. O God, let the moment come when we say what is to be done, and it will be done. To you, the living God, we give thanks even now. Faithful Lord, I thank you for the opening of the iron curtain. And I thank you already for the opening of the bamboo curtain. And now I thank you in perfect faith that you have also torn this Roman purple curtain, and that you will do something that has never been done before. You will give mercy before the judgment, and the calling out will be from all peoples, tongues and nations. O God, may your revealed word be like an atomic bomb and fall in the midst of the Vatican, that the peoples of the earth may realize that they too have been deceived, religiously deceived, as the others have been politically deceived. Lord, let a general spirit of awakening come into the nations in a mighty way. Faithful God, here we are, aware of the responsibility that has come upon us, who have known you, been known by you, being taught by you, yes, received the revelation fresh from heaven. Oh, how we thank thee also for the prophetic ministry of our time, for the glorious introduction into the plan of salvation of our God. Beloved Lord, verily, we have no need of a man to teach us yet. The Spirit teaches us. And as the anointing has taught us, so it is right. Hallelujah. Holy anointing, abide upon us. Divine Comforter, guide all our doings, as the German song goes. Lord, empower your church, equip her, and put her into the service, in your service. O God, we praise you together and worship you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.